Total Tuscany Podcast, number 13. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. We are your weekly source for great information, news, travel tidbits, everything you want to know about Tuscany. From TotalTuscany.com, I'm Travis Justice, joined by my travel partner in crime, Mr. Pat Campagna. What's up, Pat?
Hello again, Travis. How are you today?
You know, it is a beautiful day as we get into the summer months, and it's a great time to talk about Tuscany. And don't forget, if you are a regular visitor to TotalTuscany.com for the podcast, make sure to get more of our daily stuff by following us on Twitter, at Total Tuscany. And you can also like our Facebook page. That is also Total Tuscany on Facebook. So there are many different ways to get a hold of us. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes or Stitcher. Pat, one of the most common questions we get is about traveling to Italy and where to stay. Should people stay in a hotel or should they do a vacation rental? And we have very strong opinions when it comes to the subject. It's probably the most asked topic we get on a daily and weekly basis.
Absolutely. And that was the question we struggled with before our first trip. And I'm glad we made the choice to go to the villa.
Yeah, we are in favor of vacation rentals. And I think what can be overwhelming at times is that you have to change your mindset when it comes to Italy and Tuscany in particular. A lot of people go into a vacation like this and believe that it's a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. I'm here to tell you right now, change that mindset. Do not go to Italy thinking it's once-in-a-lifetime. I promise you, when you go there, you will understand right away that you want to go back. So if you plan, let's say, a 14-day vacation, and you want to try to get to Rome, to Siena, to Florence, to Venice, to Milan, or maybe even down to Naples, or try to hit Lake Como. You're going to get through that 14 days, and you're going to go, well, we saw a lot, but I don't remember anything.
Where did the time go?
It can be very frustrating because you're bouncing from train to train to hotel. You really don't get time to sit down, relax, and enjoy it. And that's where we think the benefit of the vacation rental or the villa really comes into play.
Absolutely. You know, it's we stumbled upon a villa company that has a huge selection and somebody that really knows what we're looking for, what our listeners are looking for.
Now, full disclosure here, in Mario Scalzi from Parker Villas joins us on this week's Total Tuscany podcast. But full disclosure is that Pat and I have used Parker Villas several times. They are our preferred villa provider. Not saying we wouldn't use somebody else. We've just had tremendous luck with the service and the offerings that Parker Villa has. And Mario joins us now to talk about the advantages of the villa rental. Mario, good to have you on the Total Tuscany podcast. You've had the Parker Villas company now for how long?
This is our 21st year of operations, and it just gets more interesting all the time because the business has changed, the clients have changed, the homes, everything has changed. When we started this business, it was few people knew about it in the United States, knew that this option existed back in 1993. And the people who were seeking this type of experience were professors, journalists, writers, the intelligentsia. And then as things got more popular, it started to filter into the mainstream through media. And we're appearing on CNN, and we're on The View, and we're on a number of different shows. It becomes mainstream. And in the early days, there were no screens on the windows. There wasn't even a phone. Some houses didn't even have heat. People were looking to relive, those early clients were looking to relive the experience of the British travelers of the 17th century, and they were living under those conditions. As it became mainstream and more and more people started reaching out, then we had to improve the bring it up to speed. People wanted to see that 1,000-year-old facade outside, but really wanted to have all the comforts of home inside, and that included AC, internet, phones, screens, washer dryers, so on. So it's been a fun ride all these years.
So, Mario, we are a strong proponents with our listeners and our friends and acquaintances that they really need to experience Italy in a villa and immerse themselves in the culture of one location and use that location maybe to conduct some day trips. But can you explain to the listeners why you believe that might be the approach to take to maybe a first-time traveler to Italy?
40% of our clients, and this shocks us, are first-time travelers to Italy. We would have expected that a number of clients had been to Italy before, maybe were on a tour bus and swore that, you know, someday I'm going to get off this thing and I'm going to go to that house I see on the hill and stay there. But 40% of them are first-timers. We really interview, and both of you know, because you've spoken to us over the years many times, we interview our customers thoroughly, and we want to make sure that the villa rental is the right experience for them, because there are pros and cons to renting a villa. And obviously the pros are, if you're coming with a family or a number of couples and you want to share time together and you're renting a hotel, where are you going to hang out? Around each other's, around somebody's bedroom, or are you going to hang out in the lobby? So when you rent a house, you've got a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, an outdoor area, maybe a pool, and you've got a lot of space to interact with one another. What the villa does not provide, that the hotel does, is you can pick up the phone and ring for room service. You can go downstairs and speak to the concierge and say, could you tell me how far it is to the Uffizi Museum? And how do I get there from here? On a villa, you have to, to yourself, start that adventure many, many months before the trip and start planning out your itinerary at your pace, for the needs of the group and the interests of the group, and saying, where do we want to go? So when you pick that home, it becomes a hub from which you spoke out in different directions on certain days. And our experience has been, because we try to speak to clients before, during, and afterwards, if we can, is that in the beginning, the excitement part of getting this all ready, okay, and then we're going to go to Florence, and then we're going to go to Siena the next day, and the next day after that, we're going to go visit the towers of San Gimignano. And then when they get there, and they look around, and they see this peaceful, quiet tranquility surrounded by green and olive trees, and they sit on the porch of this house or the patio, and they just go, and all that anxiety comes out, and you just sit there and you go, I ain't going anywhere. I'm staying right here.
That's us.
I don't need to go do these things. And those, and all those day trip plans get cut down by a wide number, because people are now enjoying that interaction with one another in a place that's really conducive, and there's no more place conducive to that sort of personal relationship or interrelationship than Italy.
You know, one of the,
and Tuscany especially.
You know, one of the biggest things, and this just happened to me the other day, I had a friend who was getting ready to go on a 14-day adventure. They were going to start in Rome for like 6 days and then go to Tuscany. And they had a vacation rental rented. They didn't know who they were renting from. And all of a sudden they got a letter saying, sorry, you didn't read the fine print of the contract. We're not going to rent to you. That's one of the biggest fears I think people have is, you know, with a hotel, they know right. that their reservation is secure. I think they look at something on the internet, a vacation, who do you trust? And since we've used you three times, and we'll use you even more, talk to that trust level of when you make a reservation, that it sticks, it's hold, and vacation rentals are reliable when it comes to your service.
We and a handful of companies such as us that operate in this space have our exclusive homes. These are homes that are exclusive to us. What that means is that that owner is dependent upon us for the majority of the income that he's going to derive from that home. So he's going to really pay attention to our guests, as opposed to a portal site where there's 50 gazillion things. And whether they rent one or not, it doesn't really matter. The other side of it is that contractually, they have to provide all the things that we said that they would, because there are penalties that they would face if they did not. And we have our own customer staff in Italy. And can it happen that a house burns down, somebody suddenly gets divorced, and the sheriff comes and decides to clock them out? Sure it can. In 20 years, has it happened maybe 3 or 4 times? Yes, it has. But if you're dealing with a reputable company that puts its face out there first and says, oh, no, you're not dealing just with the owner, you're dealing with me, then our staff in Italy, what they do when those few times arise, they'll go take those people from where they are and move them to another house. And usually it's an upgrade. It doesn't cost them anything. And so that they can continue their vacation. The reason why there's this trust issue that's come up is in the last decade or so, with the boom of the internet and everything being at a fingertip, you've had this home alone explosion, I want to call it, where you go to these sites and an owner gets to put up whatever he wants to put up, describe his home in whatever way he wants to describe it, and you deal directly with that person. Now, when you get there, if the reality isn't what was shown in the pictures or the text or the promise, or in some cases, as you've probably seen on the news in the last year or so, that some of these homes sometimes don't even exist, then you're taking that risk on yourself, because the temptation that these home alone sites do is say, oh, you're cutting out the middleman. And therefore, if you cut out the middleman, you're going to get a good deal. Well, you cut out the middleman, you've got nobody to advocate for you should something go awry while you're there. And when we study the pricing of these properties, and we look at what these guys are doing. I see it all the time. I've been to Italy a gazillion times, and I've negotiated with owners. And an owner will say, my house in the ugliest area surrounded by power plants, will say, my house is the most beautiful house in the world, and it's worth $50 million an hour. And someone else, more modest, who's got a beautiful home in the hills with incredible views, will feel differently about what that value is. We establish the values, and we compare. We have a matrix of all of Italy, so it makes it a lot different when the prices are standardized. And if someday, I hope that when you travel with us, you do a two or three week stay and move from house to house to house, because a lot of our clients do that. And what they notice is that when they go from house A to house B to house C, the services are consistent, the standards are consistent, the pricing makes sense for the number of bedrooms, the space, the location. And that's how we try to put people at ease.
And I think you bring up a very good point there, is that I'll be an advocate for a villa in the fact that if you look at the price of a hotel compared to the price of a villa, the difference is you look at the price of a hotel per night and you see that number, and you look at a villa number for the week and you're like, oh, that's an astonishing number. Do simple basic division and you'll go, oh, a house is much cheaper than a hotel. Much, much cheaper.
Absolutely. And some of the luxury homes are less expensive than staying at a normal 3-star hotel. But again, you're not getting that concierge who's at your beck and call, or you're not getting maid service daily. There's things that a hotel provides, and there's some clients that do belong in a hotel because they do require those services and are not as independent and adventuresome as you folks are. Once you reach four people, two couples, you should start thinking about the villa rental. At one couple, then it's a toss-up. Do I want the little house in the countryside by myself, or do I want the hotel room in the town or the countryside that I can? But once you're past two people, two couples, three couples, four couples, economically it makes more sense, and just the fact to get to enjoy each other's company makes a lot more sense.
What's some surprises? I think the first time we rented a villa, because there's always some unknowns, or maybe just not don't understand. So we fill out the contract. We think we're paid up, and we get there. We didn't understand it, but now we know, and I get it, is that energy is not cheap in Italy. When you get there, maybe one of the unknowns is you got to put an energy or heating deposit down right. with the villa owner. Well, what are some of the unknowns people may not know when they rent a villa?
When you rent the villa, you should ask from whoever you're renting the villa from, what are any of the additional costs involved? And yes, energy in Italy is, well, you guys rent a car when you go to Italy, and you know that filling up that tank, where here it may cost you $50, there it's going to cost you $120 to fill up that tank. So energy is far, far more expensive.
And that's on the a security, Fiat.
Sorry?
And that's on a Fiat.
And that's on a Fiat. But their cars are more fuel efficient than ours. So you get a little further on that 120 that you would with our some of our guzzlers here. But nonetheless, there are the security deposit is there to cover in the event that there is some damage or you use heat or air conditioning. We've sort of pioneered some changes to that. And you will notice now that many of the homes that offer air conditioning, we've included it in the price without raising the price. We've said to the, because the owners are afraid. You know, you said the American has a trust factor. Some owners have a trust factor too. How do I know your clients aren't going to come in here because energy is so cheap in America? They're going to turn up, they're going to crank up the AC to the max, open all the windows, and then go out for the day. Because that's how you guys live in America. So what we've done is we said, no, what if a normal person were to use AC when it's the hottest period out, how much would they consume in a week? How many kilowatt hours? Let's include that amount. So when you arrive, they'll do a meter reading. You'll know what your allowance is, and if you live within that allowance, it doesn't cost you a penny extra. And that's what we're trying to do across the board. So when you've got over 100 properties, it takes a little while to get them all on board. But if you try to put away some of our habits of cranking up the heat and leaving the house and leaving the windows open, or the vice versa with the AC, you're going to find that it's not that excessive.
You have over 100 properties. They're spread all around Italy, and they're fascinating properties. Talk about Tuscany in particular. Is this still your most popular region when it comes to rentals?
I was working prior to 93. I was working in London. I was heading up sales for a high tech consulting company, and we had salespeople running around all over Europe. And at some point, I decided to buy a house in Tuscany, and outside of Siena, north of Siena in the Chianti Hills. It was a lot of fun doing it. It's like planning a rental. You just say, oh, I'm going to buy this thing. I get it, and then I say, now what am I going to do with it? And then I put it out for rent, and that's how Parker got started. That was the beginning of Parker Company. Mm. I really had no intention of this becoming a business. It just kind of bloomed on its own. And Tuscany is eye candy. It was during up until after the war, it was the most backwater region of Italy. No allies bombed it. Nobody invaded it. There was nothing there. There was no industry. It were farms. Farms and the Tuscans throughout Italy were known as bean eaters because their cuisine was poor. It came from the land. There was not the fanciness of Bologna. So Tuscany was this very simple backwater place. And that failure to reach the industrial age is what makes Tuscany what it is today, because it's this oasis of just in lost in time, that when we go there and we find our corner of it, you say, I never want to leave here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we've traveled to Tuscany, what we've noticed is that that we don't feel necessarily like tourists. They're very welcoming. Not only a wonderful place to see, but the sounds, we talked about on our podcast, the birds are just, the sounds are incredible. But the people are so welcoming. We feel like we can go anywhere and we're welcome to the facilities. We're welcome to the local towns. Is there another aspect of Tuscany that you would suggest to our listeners that they direct themselves to, maybe you've traveled so many times, mm-hmm. On one of their trips, their first trip to Tuscany?
Well, the first trip, obviously you've got to go to Florence and you have to. Siena is in my heart. I can't help it. I'm a Bostonian. I grew up in Boston, and and Boston was divided back in the day into little sections. There was the Irish section, the Italian section, and all these different ethnic groups. And Siena has 17 different contrade, 17 little neighborhoods within this small city encircled by walls. And each one has its own traditions. And they marry within that contrada. They live with it. They go out on field trips together. They go on vacations together. And for me, that was like, wow, this is like a place like where I grew up. I'm familiar with this type of neighborhood sense. And that people would come into the neighborhood, tourists, foreigners, and they would be welcomed. We had rivalries with other neighborhoods, but we didn't have any rivalries with the outsider. The outsider was welcome. And we felt we had no need to go anyplace else, because everything we ever wanted was here. So to me, Siena is definitely Florence is a must, but Siena to me, from the heart, is a place you have to go to. San Gimignano, that wonderful little hill town with all the medieval towers that stand out, and the reason those towers are there is that back in the 12th, 13th century, the richer you were, the taller the tower you would build. So it was Jones's saying, you know, my house is better than yours. And at some point, the town said, enough, we can't have tall towers. You've exceeded the height. So they started making them wider. So you'll see some short, fat, wide towers. And the fatter they were, the richer they were. You need to see that place on a Sunday night. You need to see that place when the tourist buses are gone. Mm-hmm. You need to rent one of the houses there and live like a local in San Gimignano. I think that the mist area of Tuscany is southern Tuscany. The areas around Montepulciano. When you get Le Crete, there's this, Le Crete means the clay hills. And the clay hills south of Tuscany that go from Asciano, south of Siena, down to Montepulciano, are all the pictures you see of Tuscany, where you see these hills that are green and there's maybe two trees on top of one hill. All those pictures are taken there. There's the there's an abbey there that has, you guys have been to there.
I've been there.
The abbey. Yeah. Okay. Do you know the interesting thing about that abbey? Is that abbey, according to people who study this stuff, is built along certain ley lines that crisscross the globe. And these ley lines, and so it's built on a convergence of these. And what happens is that the power, I don't know what power it is, but this power that comes from these ley lines allows the crops to grow faster, better, healthier, allows the people to live longer. There's many centenarians, there's many people of 100 years old here that are still tilling their land. The wine tastes better. The olive oil tastes better. Whatever grows there tastes better. The abbey, the crossroads of this is Abbazia di, I think it's Abbazia di Montemaggiore, if I'm not mistaken. But you will, if you go to accessitaly.com, I did a blog on it a while back, and it is this ley line thing. I don't know what to make of it, but you can go there with your own eyes and see this beautiful land and see how long these people live and the wonderful foods that they make. Chianti is the most popular wine between Florence and Siena. That's the most popular area to be in. But the area that's undiscovered that has a lot of beauty to it is this area south of Tuscany. And another city worth seeing is Arezzo. Nobody ever talks about it. Cortona gets all the fame and glory thanks to Under the Tuscan Sun. But Arezzo, if you go into the city center of Arezzo, you're not going to find any tourists there. What you are going to find there is a lively, buzzing place filled with restaurants, cafes, shops, things of all sorts, a lot of history, and only Italians. So Arezzo, I would definitely put high on the list if you want to experience, because you keep talking about, you know, meeting with the owners, the Italian. Why do you think the Italians are renting their houses to us? They want to meet you guys. Mm-hmm. They have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. At one point, we had an owner in Lazio, north of Rome, and her house, unfortunately, as the standards started to change, no longer met our needs, the needs of our clients. And she really could not invest to make the changes. So I said, you know, we're going to have to let go. She goes, look, stop paying me. I don't care. Just don't stop sending me people. I love meeting your clients. They love Americans.
And you're 100% correct. And we had done an earlier podcast with Jacopo Di Battista, who his mom is Laura, who owns
Crocetto.
And we've become friends. I mean, we email regularly. It's amazing how that bond you create with the owner of the villa if you get to spend time with them. And you're 100% correct. They love Americans. They love, yeah, you know, people that come to their place. And I think that what they really get a thrill out is how much people enjoy it, and they take great pride in what they produce, whether it be the house or the vineyards they have, and they love people to come see them. Now, and I think you've, that right there, what you said, is getting to go to a city center, going to San Gimignano, is exactly what we preach and why people are best served to do a vacation rental, because you really get to immerse yourself and you get to slow down. My question to you is this, because we've done it a couple different ways. When we rented Salvucci in San Gimignano, we planned roughly a year out. Now, I was just at Alabastro in Volterra, and I rented that on a month's notice. So if you're planning a trip, what is the ideal time frame to start the planning process for a villa?
The bigger the group, the longer the time. So you guys hit it right, the nail right on the head. When you plan the Salvucci is a house for up to 15 people. You need, because those houses get booked a year ahead of time. We're booking right now for 2015. When you're at two people or four people or even six people, you can be a month out. You can be maybe safely, if you want to get your choices in, you should be maybe 3 or 4 months out. But somewhere between a year for larger groups and anything less for smaller groups, up to about 90 days out, is the perfect sweet spot to try to get your best choices in.
Mario, fascinating conversation. The truth is, I think this could probably be a two-part podcast, but parkervillas.com is the place to go. They've got properties not just in Tuscany, but you have properties throughout the entire country of Italy, correct?
Yes, we have properties in many parts of the country, and we're expanding. So Yeah. I want you to come and see some of the other parts of Italy. I know you guys love Tuscany. It's going to be tough to crack you out of there. But there's some other parts I want you to explore.
Excellent. Mario, thanks for being our guest. We appreciate it. And let's do it again sometime, all right?
It's been my pleasure. Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Pat, that was one of those conversations where I think we could have literally gone another half hour to an hour with Mario, not just about vacation rentals, but about Tuscany and Italy in general.
Mario is one of those people I think we could talk to for hours, and there's no question that I don't think there's so many questions that I would like to ask him about his travels and about his experiences. So I think he's somebody that we have to have back if he's willing. So.
If you liked what you heard from Mario, go check out their webpage. It's parkervillas.com. They have properties throughout the country, and they have them for up to two people, up to 20 plus. And the properties are fascinating. And remember, they are hand-selected. They have to meet a certain criteria, and most of all, they have a United States office and they have an Italy office. This is a company you can trust, and when you plan that trip, not a trip of a lifetime. Remember, as we said earlier, you're going to go back, but when you plan that trip, you want to make sure you're in good hands, and at Parker Villas, you are in very good hands, and it's a company you can trust.
No question about it.
Make sure to subscribe to the Total Tuscany podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Pat and I will be back next week with another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Ciao, everybody.
Ciao.